Welcome to Harnessing the Power of ESG, the KPMG podcast series focused on the intersection of tax and ESG. At KPMG, we understand the power of ESG to transform business. I'm your host, Anu Varadarajan, from the KPMG Tax ESG team. In this podcast series, with commentary and real-world examples from subject matter leaders, we will explore the critical role of tax in a company's overall ESG strategy. Today, we are exploring the impact of transfer pricing when a business undertakes emission reduction measures. Joining me are Jesse Coleman, transfer pricing principal in our Washington National Tax Practice, and Nate Gabig, principal in Capital Solutions Advisory Services. Thank you for joining me, Nate and Jesse. Let's dive right in. Multinational enterprises are setting targets for themselves to lower greenhouse gas emissions, more commonly known as the carbon neutral goal. To meet their targets, two popular methods are to make investments in renewable energy projects, adopting alternative energy sources, switching to an electric fleet, etc. The other option is to buy credits to offset their own emissions. So my first question is to you, Jesse. When a company incurs expenses for these sustainable efforts, how does transfer pricing come into play?
That's a great question, Anu. And maybe let's just take a step back here. When a company's making these decisions around sustainability efforts, what we've seen is those efforts are being made by the sustainability or the strategy groups within a company. What's been really interesting here is that tax isn't aware of these changes sometimes at the onset, and transfer pricing, of course, then wouldn't be aware either. And what's really unique about the changes in the sustainability space is that the decision to incur them is happening pretty quickly. So often once tax learns about the decision about who to do this has already been made and much of the spend is already incurred, which means that tax and transfer pricing is playing a bit of catch up. Another thing that we're seeing here too, and this is maybe why we're seeing this delay in understanding the changes in the business sometimes, is that the tax and sustainability group often aren't closely linked together yet. Some of that is because the sustainability group is so new to the company. And I think oftentimes there might be a misunderstanding that a lot of the work the sustainability group is doing is more in the nature of stewardship rather than really materially making changes to the business, which it really is. So then I think getting back to your original question, my job as a transfer pricing practitioner would be to look across the company and understand which legal entities in which jurisdictions are creating value for the company, and delve into the functions, assets, and risks of the jurisdictions and the related intercompany transactions to make sure that each entity is remunerated based on the arm's length principle. So to make sure that all intercompany transactions are priced as if they were between two non-related parties.
Let's say we have a manufacturing facility that is responsible for a lot of the emissions coming from a multinational enterprise. So you definitely need to reduce emissions from a particular location, but the decision to reduce emissions across the board on a company-wide basis is taken at headquarters, which could be completely different from where the manufacturing facilities are located. So can you help us understand, give us an example of some of the tensions involved and how might they resolve this using transfer pricing?
So let's take your example. We've got a manufacturer that is heavily emitting in a country outside of the US, we'll say. The US headquarters makes the decision that that manufacturer needs to update its processes. So maybe in this case, it might make some heavy investments in new technology and kind of bolt that on to its existing process and make its manufacturing cleaner, we'll say. Maybe a tension we see here, though, is that that process actually makes the cost to manufacture more expensive. A benefit here, though, you see at the end would be because they've become cleaner, ultimately, we're able to have a huge PR campaign that makes people realize that our products are better than the competitors, and we're able to charge a premium price. So we see an increased cost to the manufacturer. We see a premium price to the end consumer. If we think about how the transfer pricing would work here, let's keep it simple. We'll say that the manufacturer is in France. We'll say that the manufacturer also then sells to a distributor that's also in France. And we'll say the US is making the decisions here. For transfer pricing purposes, this entire company is really driven by the US. They make all the key decisions and they make all the key investments. And they ultimately bear all the residual, either profit or losses. So if the decisions are good, they make the upside. If the decisions are bad, they take the losses. In this really simple example, we would have increased costs that France would have to incur in order to make that product. But they'd be getting routine returns for their distribution and their manufacturing functions. So that's a pretty simple example where France's functions haven't changed as a routine manufacturer and distributor. Their cost base has increased. Interestingly, though, here, and I think this is where some of the tension comes in, is French customers will say are willing to pay a dollar more. But when you think of that dollar, shouldn't that dollar more be really coming back to the US? Because they've made the investment, they put the risk in, they could have equally not put that risk in and wouldn't have gotten that extra dollar, or there could have just been the costs incurred without that dollar. This becomes a lot more complicated, though, if we think of France bearing the risk in some respects. Maybe they made some of the investments in the sustainability initiative. Maybe they jointly funded it with the US. So you can see it becomes really, really complicated really, really quickly.
Jesse, thank you so much for that detailed example. So let's pivot a little bit here. We've looked at some of the issues involved when a company is taking these emissions reductions initiatives and making those investments. But what if those are not sufficient and they need to go out into the market to buy additional credits? Nate, I'd like to pivot to you at this point. Can you walk us through what that scenario looks like? What are some of the considerations that companies need to think about when they're going to buy credits?
Good morning, Anu. Jesse, thank you both for having me here. There's an interesting use case here. When you think about your decarbonization journey, those initial steps are obviously vitally important, looking at your operations. And Jesse, to your point around French operations, being able to focus those efforts, the penny saved, penny earned examples when we hear often in the decarbonization world. If you produce technology, your operations can avoid emissions and abatement. That's just as effective as going out and getting carbon offset credits, if not better sometimes, because in that instance, you're actually having true avoided emissions. So Anu, what I'll talk on here is an example of maybe a company that we've seen in our own client roster whom, even though they had large operations in one set of countries, decided to go purchase carbon offset credits from another country at a lower cost. And what I mean by that is there are a number of brokers and there are a number of carbon offset providers who will give you effectively a menu. We have to constantly keep an eye on surveillance as to what's available, but we've got projects today that we have opportunities along with our clients to work in China and India, Guatemala, Brazil, many African countries. And each one of those countries has different project types and then prices associated with that ton of CO2 or other greenhouse gas abatement.
Nate, that was a great overview. What are some of the critical issues that a company or a buyer needs to be thinking about when they'd like to go out and buy these credits in the market?
Not only is there a more crowded field of these carbon offset credit providers and the brokers out there, but you also have to take into consideration for your company, what are the type of offset credits and what does your strategy and narrative want to be? Because so much of this is public facing, I actually looked at our tracker this morning. We have over 700 worldwide companies that have made net zero commitments, right? Remarkable number. Of those, over 400 are here in the US, right? Net zero commitments. Now, that's a big, important first step. But where the market is coming and maturing now is rating agencies NGOs and investors are now monitoring to see, well, what does that progress look like, right? What steps have you actually taken towards a 2025, 2030, or even 2035 commitment for decarbonization? And those are usually focused around two or three key areas. Those offsets that you're purchasing, and KPMG is a buyer of what we call nature-based solutions. We also help advise clients in their nature-based solution credit purchases and the due diligence of those projects. And due diligence is vital. We've all seen in the news, right? Unfortunately, there have been some unscrupulous providers, right? And there have been claims in and around the actual GHG abatement and the practicality of some of these deforestation or reforestation programs. And nature and science and these measuring techniques are not perfect. We are still finding situations where, based on the different scientists and different empirical evidence, we see the impact not as substantial as we would have hoped, right? Or the assumptions that may have been, those are being refined. But in addition to nature-based solutions, we've also got a really interesting portfolio of what we call technology-based emissions credits. So these are electrification, these are carbon capture, utilization, and storage, which is a fascinating new set of development and projects coming online that we're looking at and have many clients looking to invest in. Mm-hmm. We also have hydrogen, tech performance, and then electrification. And each one of those offers its own unique pro and con when it comes to a firm and where they want to basically put their narrative and put their purchase power.
One thing I just want to add here, Nate, this is hard to do. So if you think of standing up a group of individuals who are doing this type of work, it's very value add, requires a lot of experience to get it right, has a huge reputational issue if you don't get it right. So I think that's another interaction here of tax and transfer pricing. So if you're going to stand up a carbon trading team, that's creating a lot of value for the company.
I think you're spot on. It's public information out there. These are great things that Bloomberg and The Economist continue to track. But, you know, there was recently an article, the impact of tax and the trends in carbon offset purchases, that they highlighted Delta Airlines, Google Alphabet, Disney, Salesforce, JP Morgan, right? It's not just banks, not just airlines, right? Not just tech and media companies. Everyone across the spectrum has to determine how they want their narrative. And then obviously how also when it comes to ESG scoring and their annual due diligence packages and filings that they do with the various rating agencies.
One other thing is we're finding that tax groups are surprised when they find out just how much their companies are doing in this space. Because I think, as you pointed out, this is not just for manufacturers. This is across the spectrum. So many companies are looking to be net zero, and carbon credits are a way that many of them are going to get there.
That's right. And I think of it like an inverted pyramid. At the end of the day, a company's got to do their own greenhouse gas assessment. And as a part of KPMG's significant net zero commitments and the capital we expend in these programs, our data centers and our corporate travel make up the majority, the base of our pyramid. And as each year goes by, our carbon offset financing committee, the rest of our ESG strategy teams, we look each year at how do we keep moving up the pyramid, even though we may be less impactful, for example, this year to remove and to offset all of our activities related to our rental car activities, right? Those are levers that we can continue to pull. And if we want to purchase offset credits that help focus, example, if you see with Hertz and their 100,000 Teslas or other large EV commitments, we are now working with likes of Uber and Lyft to be able to see when our associates and employees traveled in an electric vehicle through one of those rideshare vehicles versus an internal combustion engine. That's the level of granularity and data that just helps us be that much more impactful and accurate.
I think the big takeaway here from this really exciting discussion that we just had is that the decision to reduce emissions in a multinational enterprise or in any business is one that is complicated. There's got to be a lot of dialogue and discussion throughout the organization and ensuring that all the right parties are at the table when these decisions are being made, whether it's a sustainability group, whether it's finance on who's going to pay for it, it's tax, understanding credits and incentives, how that impacts them and the transfer pricing issues, et cetera. So not a decision to be taken lightly. Jesse and Nate, thank you so much. This has really been a very thought-provoking and insightful discussion on just one sliver of the whole sustainability journey. And I truly appreciate your insights.
Wonderful. Thank you, Anil.
Thanks for having us.
Let's do this again.
And thank you for joining me on this episode. I invite you to continue this journey with us as we further explore the intersection of tax and ESG and the many business elements it impacts. I'm Anu Varadarajan, and this has been Harnessing the Power of ESG.